And so many of the traits of the Christian life are things that we choose.
Yeah.
Right now, they are gifts of salvation. They're gifts that are poured into our lives when we become followers of Jesus, but we so often don't take advantage
right.
of the gifts. We don't unwrap them. We don't utilize them. We don't incorporate them into our lives. And so this, you know, yesterday I talked about this, and I want to underscore it again to those who are listening in a follow-up manner, is that 1 Thessalonians says that we wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And it is built on the idea of the present tense there. It says he rescues us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just that he will rescue us in the future. He's rescuing us right now.
Yeah.
And so in those times when we get sucked into these practices that kind of, you know, take us the wrong way, Jesus is right there. And he's calling, he's offering us a better way, and he's calling us to choose hope in those situations rather than those things that lead to despair.
Right.
And he's rescuing us right now. So it's easy to think that, you know, someday he's going to come back and rescue us, but the present tense in this verse reminds me that it's even now. This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in his perspective, his presence, his pace. Tool or tyrant? Do you serve your phone or does it serve you? No surprise here. I believe the phone should be your servant, not the other way around. And so we want to talk a little bit today about letting your phone serve you. This is season 2 of and episode 37 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Hey, Ryan.
Hey.
How's it going?
Yeah, you know, same old, same old. busy, but, you know, all good things, you know.
Yeah, how's the voice today? The reason I ask is there's a bit of a mix-up yesterday, and you were singing a soprano part.
Yes,
at one
I was.
Point. what was going on there?
It's always interesting, you know, going back up after, you know, the sermon, right? Because
yes.
You kind of hope that everybody's paying attention or in the right spot, you know, because sometimes, you know, I'll check on the tech stuff or I'll be kind of getting ready for something in youth, you know, that happens during second service or, you know, whatever. So I'm kind of always trying to keep aware of where everybody is, you know? And so for the most part, everybody, you know, is in the right spot, you know, but it just happened to be that yesterday, the gal Ella that was supposed to sing the part didn't show up because she got pulled into helping in the children's ministry.
Yeah. So she was doing something good. She was she was all suddenly, you know, needed there.
Right. Right. So then they pulled her in there. Well, then she forgot to kind of just keep an eye on, you know, where you were in your sermon, you know, and when it was going to be wrapping up. And so I'm standing on stage and I'm realizing she's not here.
Mm-hmm.
I say this very loosely, I could maybe sing the verses, maybe.
Because it was very high.
It was high. It was high. It was at the top of my range, you know, before a typical soprano, it's right on, you know.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I could get us to the chorus, and then after that, I'm tapped. You know what I mean? Like, and I can barely get us through the verses, barely, you know. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to hope that maybe if we start singing that she'll hear the music and realize that she's supposed to be on stage. And then, you know, we also had another gal with us, Caitlin, that does our children's ministry here at the church. And so she's like, well, I know the chorus. Like, if you get me to the chorus, I can sing the chorus the bridge. I can sing it from there, but I don't know the verses very well, you know? And so I was like, all right, well, I'll attempt to sing the verses. Here we go.
And it was pretty high. It was falsetto?
For sure. Yeah. My attempt at falsetto was yesterday. And so if you were here during the first service,
you know,
you heard it.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, there's all these moving parts that people never see. I know all these things going on. Matter of fact, I don't see it because I'm finishing out my message and I don't see the scramble that's going on to get ready. You guys get on the platform. I just remember when I got back to my seat, I looked up and her microphone was missing, and you were seemed like you were standing on your toes trying to get as high as you possibly could.
I was trying my best, man. I was trying my best.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know, those are the things that I think you said yesterday make us human, you know, make us realize we're imperfect. You know, we're just doing our best.
We're doing our best.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yep. We had another mix up yesterday. If you were in second service, you caught this while I was preaching. I was about 5 minutes into it, and suddenly music came on over the sound system, and everybody's like, "What is that?" And it was actually, now that I think about it, it was kind of effective because everybody locked in. It's like, what? You could just see everybody's eyes kind of pop open, like, what? And so everybody was drawn back in. It was kind of perfect. So we might be doing that every week now.
Yeah,
You know, at one point in the message, music starts going, and I go, okay, got you back.
Yeah. I messed up on the tracks for second service. So we started the song and I realized that it had been programmed differently. So I had to, and like tell it what to do basically. Yeah. And so we had to stop the song and I was like, I'm so sorry. We're going to start this again. Cause I was like, I realized what I was trying to adjust something. I was tinkering with something in between services and I forgot to, you know, make sure that the other things fired off. And I was just like, oh man, you know, it's just one of those days. You know?
So there's no illusion here that we're perfect. That is, we're definitely not giving setting that vibe at all.
No, I never want to set that vibe because if I do that, I'm in a world of hurt because I can't live up to it. I can't do it. You know, I just can't.
Well, and here we are the next day and we'll just move on and do the best we can. That's all we can all hope for. So we'll see if it feels like, you know, there's something that I'm saying that feels like needs to get everyone's attention today. Just go and play some music.
I'm just going
to
play some music.
Just play some music and people go, whoa, what's going on? Yeah. listen back up. Well, we've got a couple fun listener comments that we got since our last podcast, but I'm going to save those till the end. But today I want to look a little bit at the topic of, you know, letting your phone serve you. I think the phone can be a great instrument in our lives, but we want to make sure it's serving us and not the other way around. It really is something that's launched us into what's going to be our podcast series now for several weeks. We're going to be looking at the idea of hope on the horizon. And this past weekend, yesterday, I was comparing hope scrolling, a term that I coined, hope scrolling.
Nice.
Let's see if it goes viral.
I like it.
And someone asked me, did you come up? Yeah, I did. Of course I did. That's who else would come up with something that silly?
I'm that guy.
It's very silly, but you know, you get the idea. Hope scrolling and comparing it to the very prevalent idea of doom scrolling in our culture. And so there were a lot of allusions in the message yesterday to our phones as just kind of an analogy or an illustration of how we can get sucked into despair and discouragement rather than into the hope that we have in Christ. And so I want to dig a little bit deeper into that because we kind of touched upon it a little bit yesterday, didn't have time to go more deeply into it. But it's kind of a interesting topic for us to cover on the podcast because I imagine almost all of our listeners are utilizing their phones to hear us,
right?
To listen to this.
Right.
So we've got people that are using their phones. Maybe they're watching, you know, on their TV, or I guess they could be using a smart device, like an Alexa or, Google device to listen. But most of our people, I'm pretty sure, are using their phones either on YouTube or using a podcast platform to listen to us with their phones. So, we know, and we've got listeners right now who are using their phones for, we think, a good reason.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm not anti-phone at all. I'm not like, you know, we wouldn't be doing this if people didn't have, you know, phones with them all the time. But how do we utilize them, or how do we build some safeguards into our lives so that we're using them for our good rather than in a way that's destructive for us?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the phones can be a distraction, but they also can be, a source of I can't think of the right word, but like a way to connect us to, connect us either to each other or connect us to something that we should be filling our hearts with and filling our minds with, you know, keeping our thoughts on positive things, on God's thoughts and things like that, you know, and, so it can, but it can also, you know, there's a flip side of that.
It can also pull us away.
It can pull us away.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, maybe we should think in terms of not just our phones, but technology in general.
Yeah.
All of technology, in my way of thinking, is basically, it starts neutral.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, you know, technology is always bad or technology is always good. It's neutral.
Right.
And to the degree that it can be a tool for good or a tool for bad.
Right.
And
right.
that's, you know, you could almost apply that to any form of technology. That is the there's those two different directions it
right.
should go. Which means and no pun intended, but the choice is in our hands.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Which way are we gonna how right. are we gonna utilize it?
Right.
Are we gonna utilize it for good? So it right. always comes back to us, yeah. not the device itself.
Right, for sure, for sure. Well, there's been a lot of artists and even at some venues that will have like cell phone blockers, so people aren't even allowed to even use their cell phones.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like so that they can be in the moment of what's being presented. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting yeah. that you can have. So the actual like venue wherever they are,
right.
they can block the cell phone
yes.
usage in that
yes.
area.
And they let you know, like when you buy when they buy the tickets, it comes yeah. with a disclaimer and it yeah. goes through all of the legal ramifications in case of emergency, they can shut it off and things like that, you know? But the whole point of it is that the artist then is allowed to kind of connect and curate the performance to the venue,
yes.
you know, and that's so that people aren't distracted by their phones and
right.
aren't taking videos and things like that. And so it hurts, you know, because it can hurt the brand if, for instance, you know.
So you know. Can they actually stop them from taking videos too?
Yes, yeah, they shut it all down. Yeah, yeah, there's little bags that they give you that you can put your phone in. That's one way of doing it. And then there's other ways that they just set up firewalls that just cut the whole cell phone use. You know, and then the people
but
that are
you could
there,
still take a video, a picture or a video with your phone. You just couldn't send it anywhere.
Some of them can. Yes, you can. But some of them, no. No.
Really?
If they see you pull your phone out, they'll
yeah.
take you out of the,
okay.
out of the
concert. It's not like they can stop your phone
right.
from doing that.
Yeah, they would, can't. Right. 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 Right.
They you know, prevent that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can see the, that highlights just the dilemma
yes.
that we're in,
yes.
you know, where
yes.
we want to utilize.
Sure.
But then you realize the drawbacks.
Yes.
You realize
yes.
the disadvantages.
Yes.
Got, you know, kids are teachers. They're in
right.
a teaching environment. It's really hard these days to
yeah.
be a teacher
right.
because of the distractions that the students have with
right.
their phones.
Right, right.
In the
right.
classroom.
Right.
It just creates all new challenges
yeah.
from teaching
yeah.
to be able to communicate, you know, have students actually be present.
Right. Right.
During the lecture,
right.
during your teaching time.
Right, right. And then you can also, you know, like you were saying, the flip of it is, you know, you can do so much with technology. You know,
right.
like my kids, you know, since they're a part of a charter program, they access classes online, right? So they have their Google Chromes and they, you know, sign on to their Zoom classes. And in their Zoom classes, they can, you know, interact with a teacher and they can interact with other students and, you know, do breakout rooms and all this other stuff. So you're like, yeah, it's really useful, but it also can be, you know, destructive too and
yeah.
a distraction.
Well, yeah. I think about in ministry, how much we utilize digital communication.
Yes, for sure.
To make a difference in ministry. So
yeah,
yeah, it's got huge upsides.
Yeah.
And so I guess at the front of this podcast, I want to say that I'm not anti-technology.
Right,
I'm not
right.
anti-phone.
No.
I read my Bible on my phone or
yeah.
my tablet.
Yeah.
You think about like you know, smuggling Bibles is no longer, in a lot of places, no longer necessary,
right?
Because you can just, the Bible can just be on people's phones.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in their language,
right,
in their translation.
Right. Right.
And the idea that someday the gospel will be preached in all the world has now become, you know, a tool, mm-hmm, not necessarily the only tool or the primary tool or even the way God has in mind, but certainly a tool,
yeah,
for getting the gospel to places that it never was before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's really, it really is something that can be used for good or for ill.
Yes.
Both,
yes,
ways.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Yep.
So having said that, and I guess we're all going to agree that, you know, the phones have, for good or for bad, have become a big part of our lives. And I guess that's true. It's for good and for bad, mm-hmm, I should say. Not, mm-hmm, good or bad, but for good and bad. Let me kind of highlight, though, I think what are some of the dangers that,
sure,
we need to be aware of as those who want to honor God with our phones. And it really all comes back to this idea, is the phone serving us or are we serving it? Mm-hmm. Who's in charge here? And that principle can be applied to so much in our life, things that, you know, can easily control us.
Yeah.
And really only God should be the one controlling us. Jesus,
right,
said you can't serve two masters. In that case, he was comparing it to God and money. But we could so many things could fill in the blank for money.
Mm-hmm.
You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and your phone. You can't serve, you know, God and your possessions. We always have to choose God over those things and let those other things be servants and God be the master. But one of the things that I think, one of the dangers of our phones is distortion. You know, we see people, and I'm thinking a lot of social media here, but even in so many of the ways that, you know, even YouTube and other ways that we're viewing things, we see them flat screened, perfect people, mm-hmm, often on,
right,
the screen.
Yeah.
And we're,
yeah,
seeing a two-dimensional perspective,
yeah,
of that person. So,
yeah,
that already is distorted. We're not seeing what's on the side of the picture, the side of the video. We're not seeing what's behind it.
Sure.
All you're seeing is this very limited view,
yeah,
and often it's a idealized,
right,
view, a,
right,
perfect view, or,
right,
a, that's why I'm glad I didn't mean to do this, but I'm glad we kind of started this podcast with we're imperfect people, you know, with stories of us being imperfect, because you know, I guess we're doing the same thing. We're on a two-dimensional screen here for,
yeah,
a lot of people,
yeah,
on their podcast,
yeah, yeah,
on YouTube, but that's the dangers, mm-hmm, that we can. It kind of depersonalizes people, and it also gives us a very limited view,
sure,
of who they are. It distorts our view, and suddenly we're only seeing them in one way. So years ago, I don't know if you even knew this. Years ago, I was on a television show called Day of Discovery. Did you know this?
I didn't know this.
Okay, we talked about this.
Is this,
yeah,
the one where you had a mustache?
I did have. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and we talked about it. I had,
yes,
a mustache.
Okay.
Yeah, did it. Anyway, we would. I can't sing, but it was part of a video choir. That's a
Hold
long
on.
Story.
I've brought this up before. You can sing.
Oh well,
you can.
I mean, depends how you define sing.
Hey,
right?
I sang a soprano part on Sunday.
Yeah, that's true.
You can sing.
All right. Well, for the record, I should never be singing in a upfront way.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Behind the scenes is fine. So, but anyway, that's a whole lot different story, but
yeah,
we would, you know, take, you know, video footage that's going to be used for this show. And we would start as a choir, we would start it in one part of the song, like say the chorus or whatever, in one setting. And then we'd be in a different setting and maybe we'd finish the song a week later or something,
sure,
like that.
Sure.
So but they always took, you know, photos of us so that we knew what we were wearing,
mm-hmm,
so that it was consistent. But there were times that they're just wanting to get a close-up of us singing a certain line. So,
sure,
that might be that day we're just doing close-ups,
yeah,
of certain lines in the song. And when the main part of the song was sung, it was a beautifully sunny day, but that day it's kind of rainy. We were singing with a tarp over our head with light shining on us to make it look like it was sunny. I would be wearing like a suit on the top and shorts on the bottom because it was just a close-up.
Right, right.
And everything about it, to me, was a distortion of reality.
Right,
right. You know, because they just wanted to be consistent. Sure. They wanted to look from beginning to the end like the same. But, you know, if you zoomed out, you would see, you know, tennis shoes and shorts and, yeah. you know, a yeah. big tarp over your head and rain in the background and stormy clouds. And you realize what you see on the screen isn't what reality was.
Right.
And to me, that's a great image of sure. what has now become every day,
right.
our experience every day with what right. we see on our phone screens.
Right, right. I remember one time, like when Instagram like first came about, I got really into it. So I got like really artsy and yeah. stuff with it. And so I'd post pictures of like myself or like Mandy and like, you know, this was before we had kids and stuff. And it was the two of us or whatever. And I had a friend comment on one of the pictures that says like, do you ever post a bad picture? And she said something like, do you ever take a bad picture? And I was like, of course I do. I just never post those ones.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. it's kind of like one of those things where you kind of go like, yeah, I'm only posting the cool stuff.
Right.
I'm not posting the stuff that I go, oh no, that didn't turn out the right. way I wanted to. Let's
yeah.
take that again, you know,
yeah.
or whatever. You
right.
know? Yeah.
and some people, you know, do the flip of that where they want to seem very real and
sure.
genuine. And so
sure.
they post all the bad stuff. But even that is it's curated.
Yes, it is.
For the camera.
Yes,
it's
it
curated
is.
For
yeah.
the for the platform.
Yeah.
Still trying to come across in a certain way.
Sure, sure.
You know,
sure.
so there's this distortion mm-hmm. that when we're treating our phones like reality, we're getting a distorted view
yeah.
of it. It actually even gives us the illusion of being connected when that's not a real connection,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
And so that to me is a distortion
mm-hmm.
too. It also has, you know, and especially in young people, it's created this really pressure of comparison because you're seeing ideal situations on your screen and then you're living in your reality,
yeah.
which is less than ideal
right.
and probably very imperfect. And it's really been a struggle for a lot of people, adults as well, but especially kids, you know, where they're growing up in this and they have this this struggle now of just comparing their normal lives to these extraordinary
mm-hmm.
lives
mm-hmm.
that they see. So I think that's one thing to just be aware of. The second is just disruption. You know, it's just all the notifications and everything in your phone is just disrupting us.
Yeah.
And we're
yeah.
sort of got to the point where it's hard not to check your phone,
mm-hmm.
not to constantly
yeah.
be checking your
yeah.
phone. And so we live with this kind of always on
mm-hmm.
state,
right.
which you're always available. You're always checking in. You're always updating,
mm-hmm.
if
mm-hmm.
you will. And that is not healthy, you know, for us to, you know, God created Sabbath and sleep and rest in our lives for a reason,
mm-hmm.
because we need
mm-hmm.
these patterns, these rhythms of rest and
yeah.
engagement.
Yeah.
But the phone is never off.
Right.
You know, it's never checking out,
yeah.
even though we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I did this like little tour many, many years ago. And with the tour, you know, kind of manager, you know, every night we would, you know, get together and have a meal and kind of keep the band and the tech guys, you know, together, that we're kind
yeah.
of one team, and, you know, the band, it's not against the tech team and the tech team's not against
yeah.
us, and kind of a thing, you know. And but his rule was that there were no phones.
Yeah.
There were no phones. And so that was like his one rule that he had about dinner was that basically it was like, this was the one time that we as a group could sit down and share a meal and be connected with each other. And we weren't going to be distracted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, you know, no phones, you know, and it was cool. Cause it's like, I'm still friends with a lot of those guys, you know, that I was on the tour with too, you know, and it's like, it's fun. It connects you differently that way, where you can connect with somebody over a meal and not feel distracted or they're
yeah.
not listening or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, everyone can be in the moment, you know,
or just, yeah. And not disrupted
right.
in the middle of that. So
right.
suddenly you're truly present. You're
yes.
truly
yes.
there.
You're truly there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny as I think about this, you know, out loud with you a little bit, you know, I've been sort of on the other side of just saying, well, technology, phones are here to stay. Technology is here to stay. We're not going to fight that battle of trying to, you know, get people to not bring their phones. into church, and rather I want them to utilize it. And I realize that for many of them, their primary Bible is on their phone.
Sure.
And also their phone is the one thing that's with them everywhere.
Right.
And so if they are utilizing their Bibles on their phone and looking at the passages that we're talking about on their phone, the likelihood that that's going to be, you know, one of the recent apps that's right. open that they can go back to and look
sure.
at is much, much higher.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, here we were talking about, you know, the intrusion mm-hmm. of our phones on Sunday morning. And I imagine people are looking at their phones, looking at the text that we're talking about and getting notifications mm-hmm. and
yeah.
kind
yeah.
of, you kind of brought it, maybe brought it to life in a kind of a different way
yeah.
of just like, yeah, this really highlights the struggle because
yes.
I'm in church, I'm trying to worship, I'm looking at God's word, and yet I'm being notified on my phone.
Right.
And how do we, you know, I mean, there are tools on our phones
yes.
to keep that from
yes.
happening.
Yes.
And, but I bet a lot of us don't utilize those tools.
Right. Right.
So it's
right.
constantly there.
Yeah. Yeah. I connect to, with my phone, I can connect to our soundboard mm-hmm. system.
Yeah.
And so, but when I connect to the soundboard system, it locks me out of everything else because it's its own network.
Right.
Right. So there's no, like, I don't get any text messages. I can't make a phone call. Like, I can't send a text message. So I forget that sometimes. So when I get out of church, I'll disconnect from the network. And all of a sudden, it's just like this flood
yeah.
of messages that come in. And I go, oops, I forgot yeah. to disconnect. You know,
what a blessing.
But
though.
It is you, kind of nice.
Like, it kind of forces you
yes.
almost to be disconnected
yes.
for that time period.
Yes. In a way, it does force me to not even realize that my phone is connected. And mm. therefore on Sundays, I'm able to connect with people, you know, in the lobby. And there are some times where someone has to physically come track me down where they're trying to get a hold of me. And
yeah.
I forget to disconnect, you know, from the network from time to time. But you know, that's only in emergency
yeah.
situations.
Yeah.
You know? But
so, I mean, for our listeners that attend church
sure.
here or anywhere else, maybe part of the idea here is just to make sure your notifications are turned off.
Yeah.
During church.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
while you gather. So you really can open if you use your phone
right.
at all.
Right. Right.
And you know, the other idea is just use a paper Bible, you know,
what?
And turn your phone off, which is, you know, yeah, I know that's, that makes a lot of sense too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that there's something
yeah.
to said for that
yeah.
as well.
My son is a little, he's old. I call him old school cause mm-hmm. he's like, when he does his online classes, like he does not like it. It's not his favorite thing to
yeah.
do. He much prefers being in a classroom in person with a teacher or coach. And my Evie, my daughter, she is all about it.
Mm-hmm.
She loves the online classes.
Yeah.
She like will raise her hand like in the Zoom. She can type into the chat. Like she, you know, only
yeah.
knows, she's only kindergarten,
but
yeah. she knows like what letters will get her what emojis to type into the chat and stuff
right.
like that. And she's like constantly raising her hand and talking to the unmuting herself and talking to the teacher and like doing all these things.
Love
like
it, yeah.
going, Remy's like, anytime he gets called on, he's like hiding underneath the desk. And I'm like, Remy, she's talking to you. Like, this is a real person.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
like, he like does not like it at all. He like
yeah.
is not on board, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. a third thing, in addition to just being a distortion and a disruption, is also a distraction. And I guess that's, you know, another way of saying disruption. But by distraction, I mean not that it's disrupting us, but we're sort of distracted by it.
Yeah.
We are the ones that often are, you know, turning to it and looking to it and, you know, checking it out again. We don't need to. It's not even alerting us.
Right.
We're the ones that are turning it on, looking at it, and checking out
right.
of our environment.
Right.
The very real person that's in front of you.
Right.
Because you're tuned into some artificial,
right.
you know,
right.
encounter that could happen anytime. Doesn't have to happen right now.
Right, right. One of the singers on Sunday, her and I always compare our screen time. To see like who win, you know, who
how
had
do
the
you
most.
Win by well, having the most
by having
least.
The most
oh, well. I'm not sure that's a win, but okay.
It's a fun little game that play with each other, you know? So it's like when she sings on Sunday, we check in with each other. Yeah. It's like what we do. You know, I'm like, well, how much screen time did you have this week? You know, and so,
yeah,
but it is one of those things where you kind of don't realize how often, you know, you're just checking it, you know, and you're just like, no one's calling me. No one's texted me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, why am I looking at this right now? Like, this is,
I don't need
to be doing this right now. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, when we were talking about doom scrolling, that is the danger is that it really sucks you in. And then there's actually an addictive element to our phones where we get addicted to them and we can't, it's almost like it's really hard. It's like there's something that in us that just, you know, drives us.
Yes.
To look at our phones. We almost can't resist it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which leads to the fourth one, and that is just despair. You know, there is among some that their phones actually just become what was meant to be something good ends up being something bad. It really, you know, it just focuses on alarming information, disturbing information, destructive information, and or destructive graphics, destructive pictures, videos, and media that just sabotage their souls.
Yeah.
And even when it's well-meaning, it's not like you're necessarily looking for something bad, but the amount of extra bad news and destructive elements in there can actually absorb, you know, destroy us and really eat away at our souls. And advertisers and media, social media and others know this about us. And so they know that they're going to get more, more of our attention if it's alarming.
Yeah.
And so there's more alarming stuff that comes on there. And their goal is to make money, right? Because the longer they keep you on there, the more advertisements you're going to see, the more, funds that they make. So it's in their best. It's probably wrong to think that a lot of these platforms have our best interest in mind.
Right.
That they're simply wanting to give us good information.
Right.
They're in it for a business.
Yeah.
And their business end is to get us, you know, hooked.
Right.
As much as they can.
Right. Yeah. Very much so. Yeah. And you can almost like, I think you said it yesterday too, where it's like, it almost, the algorithm or however that works, you know, like, you know, it almost like the news or the information you're gathering, it almost gets like worse, like the longer you're on it, you know what I mean? Where you just go like, this is destructive. It's not leading anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not helpful. It's not filling, you know, my soul or anything like that. It's not, you know, I'm not gaining anything from this, you know?
Yeah. And yet it's like, there's this, it's like an accident on the freeway or whatever. You want to look away, but you can't.
You can't. Yeah.
You know, you have to look.
Right. Right.
And that's what they're banking on.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Well, so with those dangers in mind, you know, I really made a hope for, or a case for hope scrolling. Again, the term that hopefully catches on. At least
I think
maybe during this series, we'll think about it. But and it's based on the fact that in the book of 1 Thessalonians, in every single chapter ends the same way, with an emphasis on the second coming of Christ. And I think that's really interesting because there's 5 chapters in the book, and they're not that long. They're relatively short chapters. And so I made the point that if you were looking at 1 Thessalonians on your phone and scrolling through it, practically every scroll you make is going to bring you back to this reference to Jesus' second coming. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of this idea of hope scrolling, this idea that, and here's a quote from the message. I said, that's a sort of a reminder that our lives are meant to be shaped by eternity and that our minds need to be retrained by hope. With the despair and discouragement, it's not just your phones. It can come in any avenue and any route into our lives. But when it comes there, we need this reminder to be shaped by eternity, to be focused on Jesus's second coming. In future podcasts, I want to talk a little bit about that more specifically because we're going to be addressing this week by week. And that's, for some, that's a scary concept, and others is an exciting one. So we're going to hopefully demythalize that a little bit and
sure.
and bring it back to really the real focus that we're supposed to have. But to me, the thing I want to highlight from yesterday and would underscore more is just the importance of being intentional about deciding to let that be what, because it feels like your phones just decide for us, you know, or we are making the decision, but it feels much more passive.
Yeah.
And we need to have an active decision to say, no, I'm going to make hope my focus and not doom and gloom and despair.
Right. Right. I remember a while ago, I think you had said about joy. I think it's something about choosing joy, like making that our mindset to put that at the forefront, to choose hope or to believe in it. And then to choose joy. It's like when you put your mindset on that, then the rest of the things don't pale in comparison.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When we can keep our minds on Christ and we can keep our minds on joy and be hopeful and share that with others. And it's like, it changes the way we look at life, you know, and the way we can use our phones and use our tech, you know, and things like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's great. That's really true. As we, in so many of the traits of the Christian life are things that we choose.
Yeah.
Right now, they are gifts of salvation. They're gifts that are poured into our lives when we become followers of Jesus, but we so often don't take advantage of the gifts. We don't unwrap them. We don't utilize them. We don't incorporate them into our lives. And so this, you know, yesterday I talked about this and I'd want to underscore it again to those who are listening in a follow-up manner is that 1 Thessalonians says that we wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And it is built on the idea of the present tense there. It says he rescues us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just that he will rescue us in the future. He's rescuing us right now.
Yeah.
And so in those times when we get sucked into these practices that kind of, you know, take us the wrong way, Jesus is right there and he's offering us a better way. And he's calling us to choose hope in those situations rather than those things that lead to despair.
Right.
And he's rescuing us right now. So it's easy to think that, you know, someday he's going to come back and rescue us. But the present tense in this verse reminds me that it's even now he's rescuing us.
Right.
And that kind of makes sense biblically because earlier in Romans, we think about, well, at the end of time, that's when the wrath of God is going to come because that's what this verse says, who rescues us from the coming wrath. But Romans reminds us, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godliness and wickedness. And so God is right now already pouring, you know, in what theologians usually, how they usually take that, and Bible scholars usually take that, is that wickedness has its own destructive element to it.
Yeah.
And the fact that these things are self-destructive are part of what God's built into our world, that when we reject him and when we walk away from him and we choose, when our choices don't honor him, it actually hurts us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the flip side is also true. When we turn towards God, when we honor him, when we seek to follow him, when we at least you can do our best to step in that direction, we are now stepping into his rescue.
Yeah.
He's saving us.
Yeah.
So salvation is something that's past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. It's all three. And I want to underline the present part. It's something that God is saving us right now. He is rescuing us right now.
Right.
He's doing that currently. And I think that's kind of cool. So somebody talked to me after the message, and they brought it up. I didn't bring it up.
Okay.
They brought up C.S. Lewis.
Well, did you bring it up first, though?
No, I did not. They brought it up. So I'm going to reference it now, but I want to say that this
technically speaking, didn't you quote C.S. Lewis yesterday?
I did.
So then you brought it up first.
All right. So, but they were talking about a different quote.
Okay.
They were talking about a different quote of C.S. Lewis. And I thought that was a good quote.
So we did sing a Phil Wickham song yesterday. So it's
there fine. We go. All right. So. Phil Wickham, check. C.S. Lewis, check. Got it. Taken care of. All right. So you know, alert. Here comes a C.S. Lewis okay, here we reference. Go. All right. So they were kind of struggling with the idea, or struggling is not the right word, but sure. like wrestling, like, how does this work for us to make a deliberate decision, to hope? And it was a kind of a husband wife that I was talking to, and and one of them said, well, it's like that quote from C.S. Lewis when he talked about, you know, how we need to just choose to be nice.
Yeah.
Until we are nice.
Right, right.
And so I go, I know you're talking about it. I wanted to get the exact words. So they're actually talking, he was talking about mere Christianity, where C.S. Lewis says, do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you do. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. Later in the book, he says, very often the only way to get equality in reality is to start behaving as if you had it already. And so it's the idea of, like, we just choose to act that way, even if we don't totally feel it.
Right.
You know, I'm going to act upon hope. Maybe like what you were saying earlier, like, choose joy.
Yeah.
You may not feel joyful.
Right.
But we can choose joy.
We can choose it.
And we can behave in that manner. And as we do, God starts to pour that into our lives.
Right.
There's the famous saying, fake it till you make it.
Right.
Kind of
right.
sounds like that, although I think this is a lot more substantial
sure.
than that expression. And okay, this might be a first time. I'm gonna push back on C.S. Lewis a little bit. Like, who do I think I am? I mean, the great C.S. Lewis. But I'm sure he would, you know, I'm sure this is not something he didn't think about. Because that quote by itself, I think, can make us think, oh, so that's all there is to it? Just act just do it, and it'll magically happen. I think it's harder than that.
Yeah.
I think that there, the Bible also warns against the dangers of hypocrisy, of us just like pretending, you know, rather than doing it. And I'm sure C.S. Lewis wasn't saying just go out and pretend like you're nice, even if you aren't nice, or pretend like you're loving, even if you're not. And what we talked about earlier, how important it is just to be real and to be authentic.
Yeah.
So I think it's also okay we need to say, along with that quote, we need to say that it's okay when we don't feel loving and we don't feel joy to admit that. It's okay to say, that's, you know, I know this is what, you know, God's calling me to, but I'm just not there
right now.
And I need God's help for that.
Right. Right.
And I think that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise you live with sort of these masks of just always acting like everything's perfect when it's not.
When it's not, yeah.
So I with both of those things in mind, the idea that admitting that maybe we don't feel hopeful, admitting that we are discouraged and despairing, and then asking for God's help, and then stepping out and beginning to act on that to the degree we can, even if it's imperfectly, I think putting all that together kind of makes the most sense as far as how we choose hope in a situation.
Yeah, I agree. I think being honest, you know, with yourself, being honest with others around you, you know, when, you know, kind of like we've talked about it before, but it, you know, at church, and it's like, oh, how you doing? You know, it's like people are running around and getting everything, you know, and then you're like, oh, how you doing? I'm doing great. And it's like, you know, but you can also take that opportunity to, you know, have some real moments with people, you know, and really get into, you know, what they are going through and how you can help and how you can, you know, be a support for them and pray for them and be there for them. So, you know, you can, you know, if you're honest, if you feel comfortable enough to be honest with somebody like that, you know, they can walk along with you, you know, and be there for you.
Yeah. And you can't do that with everybody, but you can do that with some people, but we should always do it with God and with ourselves.
Sure. That's what I'm saying.
Always with God and ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Admit, you know, I'm not there.
Right.
I need your help.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to take a step in the right direction, trusting that you're going to empower me to have the hope, the joy, the life that you want me to have.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, so the main takeaway for me in all of this is to and you kind of said it right there, Ryan, is just to live being present, being real.
Yeah.
With real humans.
Yeah.
And let our phone be a tool, but not the primary, you know, agent in our lives.
Right.
It really should go from our front pocket to our back pocket to our backpack to our coffee counter to our, you know, to off in the other room or something
right,
at times. Yeah. We need to make sure it's not just always in the palm of our hand and always, asking for our attention.
Right.
You know, if it is, we should just say, yes, sir. You know, yes, ma'am. What do you want? You know, it's like, I'm your servant, you know, and, instead it needs to be our servant, and we need to, really be liberated to be really very real and present with the very real humans that we have right in front of us.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I think that's great. Yeah. I'd really like this series. I think it's all going to come together really nicely. I love that. You know, in Thessalonians, I never knew that he kind of always ends the letters, that, you know, the chapters that way, you know, which I thought was kind of cool. I was like, I think I just might have missed that, you know, the first time I read through, you know, the Thessalonians. So I was like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. You know, I don't know. I kind of put that in there. And I was like, there's hope, you know what I mean, that I thought was nice.
Yeah,
so,
it's just peppered through there, you know, even the way it's structured, having to just kind of show up, over and over again that at the end of each chapter just kind of reminds me it's not just a topic.
Right.
Like, okay, this is a topic that we need to know about. Okay, on to the next thing.
Right.
It's like something that needs to be regularly, a regular interval and rhythm of our lives.
Yes, yes, very much so. Yep.
All right, so we have two listener comments that have come up on our last podcast.
Cool.
And you haven't heard these. I've just looked at them recently, and I love it. So one listener writes, basically the only question here is what do you think?
Okay.
What do you think of these comments?
Right. Okay,
cool. One listener writes, the podcast should be officially called Unhurried, the world's number one Christian hockey podcast.
That's the greatest thing I've heard today. I agree.
We changed the name to Unhurried, the world's number one Christian hockey podcast.
Let's do it.
So apparently maybe that topic's come up a lot lately.
I guess so. You know, yeah. I'm sorry.
You know, to be honest, we haven't talked about it yet today.
No, we have not. No, we have not talked about it.
Although you are wearing a hockey hat.
I am wearing a hockey hat. I know.
But we didn't bring it up.
No, we didn't bring it up. No, we haven't talked about it today.
Yeah,
we could.
So there you go. Now we are.
we could. The kids had their game on Saturday, and they played great. We won, which is great. So we got our first win of the season for our little Polar Bears team.
The Polar Bears. That's perfect for hockey, right?
I know. I wanted to name it the Roller Bears because they're on wheels.
They're not on ice. But.
Right. But I got outvoted. So, you know, it was fine. We call it the Polar Bears. But Polar Bears. But it's great. Yeah. They're doing really well and happy for them. And they're having fun. And my little stud, Remy, is quite the enforcer out there,
which is not
the position that I usually play, you know, but
the guy that's ducking under the counter when the teacher calls on him is showing up big in real life.
You strap some skates on him and give him a hockey stick and he turns into a completely different person.
There you go. Love it.
We're checking kids into the boards and
All right, so for those out there that have been looking forward to the hockey reference and hockey discussion on Unhurried, the world's number one Christian hockey podcast, there you go.
That's a good idea, actually. I might have to think about that.
All right. That'd be so next week, this is season one, episode one of the world's number one Christian
hockey pod
with Ryan Viramonte.
Yeah.
I'm the co-host, Doug Kyle. all right. I thought that was a great.
I love it.
That was
I
a
love
great
it.
Comment. The other comment that grabbed my attention was someone wrote in and said, if you remember, our previous podcast was about a verse that's often taken out of context, Philippians 4:13, and how we take it to mean I can do anything through Christ as like this positive motivational mantra.
Yeah.
And instead we were talking about how what it really means is that no matter what I face, God's going to see me through.
Yes.
And this writer said, you know, I really like, they commenting on that, they said, I like the way Philippians 4:13 reads in the Message paraphrase.
Okay.
And here's how that paraphrase puts it. It says, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. And I thought, yeah, it's really good.
That is cool.
I really like that,
yeah,
that, that version of it, which, I think is true. Whatever I have, the context there is talking about having much and having little.
Right.
So that makes total sense. And,
right.
But also wherever I am,
where, yes,
you know, here he was in prison, Paul, when he said this, but it could be like, you,
yeah,
know, a mountaintop experience. I could be in the valleys. It doesn't make, I can make it through with the one who makes me who I am. I really,
yeah,
like that too. It's like not only giving me the strength, but also giving me my sense of who I am.
Yeah.
My identity.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I remember talking about that series too, where it was like, you know, I can do all things, you know, through Christ. And it's like to making that your own and making that something that you can grab onto and like you said, like a mantra, like that's just such a fulfilling way to live your life, you know, to know that no matter who you are, no matter what has happened or what's going on, it's like Jesus is there for you.
Yeah.
You know, I love that.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well done. That's awesome. Here's what's ironic right now. I'm,
yeah,
in the middle of this thing about not letting the phone, and my phone is ringing right
is
now.
Is it really?
Yeah, but I'm not going to take it. I'm not taking it. I'm turning it off. I should have turned it off before I started. I'm turning it off. Whoever that is, I'm not taking it because the phone is not my master.
Doug, we want to give you $1 million.
It's not my master.
Pick it up right now.
All right. Well, that was ironic. Anyway, hope this has been encouragement to you. Hopefully this has been, you know, another voice in your life, another reminder to take advantage of the benefits of the phone, but don't let it rule you or rule me. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you, Doug.
Conversation. Thanks to our enthusiastic listeners and viewers. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, not a hockey podcast.
And yet.
And I look forward to talking soon.